Hi,
and welcome to the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, which also presents the Coffee Chronicles. Today, I am so happy to introduce to you the Queen of Light, who is my guest co-host today, and she has a podcast called Mugs and Musings. Thank you, Queen of Light, for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sylvia. I'm so excited.
Could you give me a moment? Sorry about that.
Sure, no problem.
Sorry. I hope the background noise is not too bad. Sorry. If you were talking about background noise, I have boys in my house, and they always make noise. So sorry about that. And welcome to the show, Queen of Light. I hope you're doing well today.
Oh, thank you, Sylvia. So far, so good. How about you?
Doing really good today. It's a Saturday, so Saturdays are always busy in this house because my in-laws tend to take my kids to do stuff. And, if it's not one, it's the other. They don't do it at the same time. So I'm very grateful, but it takes up more time in the day.
Yeah,
other than that, I'm good.
Well, that's good. So I know you were talking about being really excited for Funny Girl.
Yes. I wanted to do this show because I know that we've been talking about doing entertainment, and you and I know a lot of entertainment that we want. We keep, kind of touching up on the idea.
Right.
Queen of Light and I, for those of you listening, I do the Daily with Syl Stein through Anchor FM, and Queen of Light, she is mostly, you can find her on Instagram, right? Am I correct?
Yes, it's a private Instagram page, but if you're interested in following it just to see kind of the different looks that I have and stuff like that, makeup wise, I do a beauty club segment on my podcast. So that kind of ties into that a little bit.
Yes.
But for the Mugs and Musings podcast, that I would definitely say you can either find me on where I record it on Anchor FM or on Spotify.
Yes, and that's what I was going to ask you to do, because you just started Mugs and Musings, and I wanted people to know more about your podcast. So what inspired your podcast? I want to talk about that first before we dive into what we're doing today.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Cool question. I sort of had the idea to want to do something creative like this for a while, because after I was on the writing team with you back in 2016 when we wrote for Odyssey, I, after that, kind of wanted to do something on my own, but I wasn't sure what exactly that was.
Yes.
I thought about doing a blog, but then I started to notice that blogs were sort of the old way, and vlogs, video blogs,
yes,
like the new thing. And so then, you start looking at YouTube options, but now, YouTube has certain words and things like that you're not allowed to say on there. I felt like there was more creativity and freedom with a platform like Spotify. And after I saw how you were able to use Anchor to distribute it, once I checked out the Anchor site, it was just like so user friendly.
Yes.
So, and they really, have some tutorials and other things like that too, about how to do like video podcasts, things like that, which is like very simple. So I thought that was really neat too. I just kind of thought, oh, this is something maybe I could do. But to answer the main question,
yes,
though, about like what inspired this,
yes,
organically, I'd say it was my ADHD. I have way too much hyperness, and
yes.
I kind of remember too many things, too many facts about too many different topics I'm interested in, and
yes,
I have way too many hobbies and passions and things like that, and I kind of needed a space to put all of that,
mm-hmm,
because I could talk my boyfriend's ear off all day or my mom's ear off all day, but it's kind of nice to just have your own
voice
to just kind of put your opinions and thoughts, and then if somebody else connects with it, that's really cool too. So
well, that's what makes you a writer too, because I know that was helps me. I have ADHD. As I get older, I find myself getting distracted by every little thing, and I want to do, and I feel like a lot of stuff you know, is in my head. I want to let that out, you know, like I want to do this, I want to do that. But as you know, being, you know, doing too many things at once, you kind of get burned out a little bit because you want to do everything. And so what I do is I write down stuff, and then I go from one thing to another, and I'm like, it's kind of like that movie. I think it was, I forget what it's called, the Disney movie where I think it was called Up, and the guy goes, "Ooh, a squirrel, that's me."
I've had people tell me the same thing about myself. They said, "You're like Doug from Up," because you're talking about something, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Squirrel."
And that's how it is. But as women, we go through those kind of things as well, because you always have one thing or another. Like when I'm at work, I do my work stuff. When I'm at home, you know, my home stuff, and you know, everything. And then of course I love podcasting, and I'm so happy that you're doing your podcast, because I know you have a lot. And when I saw you doing your videos on Instagram, when you post about makeup, but you also post about entertainment, I love how detailed you are about the, like if you're watching a particular show or a particular thing, you're very descriptive. You go into it, you dive right into it, and you know a lot of facts about it. And I just said, you know what? That sounds like something I would like to do, because I myself love entertainment as well. And I thought, well, you know, every once in a while we could do a guest podcast and talk about all these things as well, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because you and I could kind of go on, you know, on lots of different ones, because, you know, you've seen certain series that I've seen, you know, and things like that. And, you know, we both know a lot of the same, like, musicals and... Yeah. You know, not always all the same books, but some of them. Yeah. Like I know we've both read like Girl on the Train.
Yes.
You know, stuff like that. So, but then again, like who hasn't? No, I'm just kidding. It's you know, but it was a really good thriller, and I really liked what they did with the movie too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I loved what Emily Blunt did with the role, and I loved Danny Elfman's score, actually, in Girl on the Train. Not to get too off topic, but I just wanted to kind of
put that in as a tidbit. You notice stuff like that. Like, I thought I was the only person that notices stuff like soundtracks. And that's, like I said, there's so many topics that we can guess, you know, I could hopefully guess on yours and vice versa.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I definitely wanted to do that, especially like... I wanted to have you on at some point for, you know, an episode about, you know, like books that changed our life, things like that.
Yeah, so. definitely. But I was going to say, so diving into the funny girl stuff, the reason I wanted to talk about that is because I, as I said, Fanny Brice was an American comedian in the, like, I had all the facts there and I wrote them down because I didn't want to get this wrong. The way this whole thing with Funny Girl started first, I wanted to go into what this play is about, and I wanted to dive into Funny Girl before I get into why I feel that Lea Michele was born to play this role, you know, and
yeah.
Dive right into that, and then I don't know if you know, of course you'll have your comments on it too, and but I didn't know if you wanted to talk about your own Broadway show. I don't know which one you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, sure, because Funny Girl wasn't necessarily one of the ones I grew up with. I knew of it, and I knew of Barbara Streisand in the role, but it was one I hadn't quite seen, but like I knew of the plot, you know, loosely and things like that. But yeah, I'd love to talk about, you know, some of my favorites just to kind of add to the...
That's fine. Oh, no, that sounds perfect. I just wanted to first dive in. Except I have the most horrible computer. You know, when you look up stuff, you write it down, and then you're like going into it, and then it won't open. I'm having that kind of moment right now.
Oh, yeah, no, I totally get that. Tech is your friend until you really need them for something.
And then they don't want to work.
Yeah, no,
but,
they
But I wanted to dive into who Fanny Brice was. Fanny Brice was an American comedian, and she was around in the times of 1891. She was a comedian, an actress in theater, and she was a Jewish Hungarian woman, and she immigrated at the age of 10. So I wanted to get into who Fanny Brice was.
Okay, and, great.
I wanted to kind of share that first, and then from that, you know, Barbara Streisand was chosen to do the role as Fanny Bryce when she did the movie Funny Girl. And that movie, the reason I knew about it is because my mother, you know, my mother always watched the old films, you know, the old movies. And even though Funny Girl's not like, you know, super old, it was in 1968. That's when it first came out. My mother introduced me to Barbara Streisand and Funny Girl, and she played the young vibrant Fanny Bryce. She brought that role, who I believe won her an Oscar in that movie, and she played it. And of course, it's very hard to try to surpass Barbara Streisand because of her extensive repertoire. And one day I'll go into more of Barbara Streisand, but the main reason I'm going into it is because now there's a musical on Broadway of Funny Girl. And I thought when they initially got Beanie Feldstein, who is Jonah Hill's younger sister, I believe, I didn't feel that she fit that role. And I'm not trying to say I know what casting is, but I understand she's a great actress, you know, and she does wonderful work. I saw her in Impeachment. I've seen her in Booksmart. I've seen her in several roles that she's done really well. Mm-hmm. But personally, I didn't feel that just because you're a great actress, you translate well into playing doing a Broadway show.
No, exactly. Some people aren't really like quite in step with it. Like it doesn't come naturally to some people, and others like live for that. But yeah, there's just some actors I don't think who are suited to Broadway. It's not like a, you know, not an insult to their acting abilities. It's just, but you know, Broadway's a totally different thing altogether, and some people just, you know, don't quite fit.
Exactly. And when I, of course, you've seen my videos before on Instagram where I've talked about my love of Glee. When I started watching Glee, that introduced me back to all the Broadway shows because they had musical numbers, and they introduced me to the character of Rachel Berry, played by the awesome Lea Michele. Regardless of how anybody feels about her, I just think she's awesome. Because she is, and I'm very biased about that because she's just one of my favorite characters, but I think people just confuse her with her character of Rachel Berry. Lea Michele is a total, aside from her love of Broadway, she's a totally different person from the character that she played.
Yeah.
And that's what people can't, the haters, and I'm talking about the trolls,
right,
people that just have nothing better to do with their time. Sorry to say it like that, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it because that's what, and yeah, everyone that wants to cancel everyone nowadays. And we become, I feel like our world, because of social media, it's great, but it's become such a cancel culture of people. And I believe that for those that don't appreciate Lea Michele, they don't know her life story. They've never taken the time to actually see that she was a young Broadway star, started right at the age of 8 years old, did Les Mis, did, you know, she's done so many plays, but one of her biggest ones was doing Les Mis, and then she did, I'm trying to go get back her all the, I should know, and I went blank now. And all her, you know, she said, you know, she went on a casting just because a friend of hers was going, and she did Ragtime, Fiddler on the Roof, got cast, you know, on an audition. Her parents didn't even know she had that kind of a talent. Her dad thought she was a better dancer than a singer. And she's like, I don't let him live it down even now till this day. But then her big breakout role was in Spring Awakening, which is when she met Jonathan Groff, who has also gone on to do such wonderful roles as Hamilton. He's been in movies and shows. he's played so many things, but their biggest.
Yes, he's Kristoff in Frozen.
Kristoff in Frozen. Like I said, you know, and like I said, she's done so many Broadway shows, and I don't know if people realize how much Broadway is such a big, like, where people start, you know, real young. You have to develop a very serious mindset to be able to play and perform every night.
Yeah, because there is no cut, take two.
Exactly. And this is why I think a lot of Lea Michele's, and I don't know her personally, she may, but, you know, she may have had a bad day. I'm not excusing it by any means, but who doesn't have a bad day?
No, exactly. I think sometimes people forget that the, you know, the stars and celebrities that they look up to as their iconic, you know, heroes in a sense. It's like, I feel like they forget that they're still human and they're still people that have off days or days where they're going to feel just not like talking to anybody because maybe there's just other things that are really huge going on in their life. You know, you can never really know what someone's going through.
Exactly. And this is why, you know, when it got announced that she was taking over the role of Funny Girl, when Beanie Feldstein didn't like the direction it was going to go, she decided to leave. That had nothing to do with Lea Michele. That was established right from the start. But people started making assumptions. Oh, they kicked her out because of Lea Michele. That was not the case at all. This was decided way over that it was going to, even they tried to put Jane Lynch, who played Sue Sylvester, in the middle of it because she was playing the mom on that show. I believe that was the role she was playing. But she says, I adore Lea Michele. I'm just leaving because I decided, because they got some other actress to come in with Lea Michele. But I have nothing against Lea. He's like, I want to see what she does with it. I want to see where it goes beyond Glee. But again, I think they're confusing Jane Lynch with her character of Sue Sylvester from Glee.
No, exactly. I think that does happen quite often, you know, and sometimes, you know, people will confuse an actor's character if they played a really nice person, and they'll think that that's how that person really is in real life. Sometimes they're proven wrong, sadly, and it just, you know, it's not something that you can really count on. So it, you know, sometimes it's like when people see someone famous in public, it's like, oh, that's really cool. It's like, but then you kind of have that reservation.
Yeah.
Like, don't bother them. Like, just let them enjoy their day.
Exactly. And the media, that's what I say. Media has a lot to do with that. Even though I'm talking about Broadway, it's great that we have these social media that we platforms that we can vent and do, but back in the day nobody had any of this, and now some people take advantage of it by making up stuff and then put it on the like social media, and then people just go with it.
No, exactly. Yeah, the rumor mill is rife on the internet in general. But real quick, in regards to Glee, can we just really super quick just talk about how epic it was when Neil Patrick Harris did Dream On?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Since we talked about Glee. No, go ahead. I love Neil Patrick Harris.
It's so cute to see, like, oh, this used to be little Doogie Howser, and now he's like hitting those high notes.
I know.
That, you know,
Brian, he played Brian Ryan on the role. Remember, he was Will Schuster's nemesis.
Okay, yeah. And that's why they kind of had that little face-off or whatever. But you know, that was so cool because I just had I had the audio for it a long time just because I loved how distinct their voices were, and it was just really cool to kind of you know, have people listen to it and be like, hey, guess who this is? You know, and they wouldn't believe it, and it's like mind-blowing a little bit, but like their harmonies were really awesome on that.
Neil Patrick Harris is phenomenal, and Matthew Morrison, who was on Hairspray, he played Will Schuster. He's just phenomenal as well. He has, like, all these people that come out on Glee, a lot of them were Broadway stars,
you know?
and they got to do all that. Lea Michele among them, and Matthew Morrison, and there's a bunch of them in there. And then even I think Amber Riley, who played Mercedes, she's gone on to do wonderful things, but she herself is an opera. She's got like an operatic voice as well.
So all these
people, and Dina Menzel, let's not forget about her, who played Rachel's mom on the show. She went on to play Elphaba on Wicked. She's dead. Oh, yeah. Look at her record now. She played Elsa on Frozen.
Maureen and Rent. I mean, she originated that role as well as Elphaba. I mean, it's cool because she was an originator of both of those roles. And Taye Diggs, who played Benny,
was her husband. They were married
for a while there. Yeah, they had a kid. They had a son together. And I know they've separated, you know, now. But
I think they're still friends. I think they're still friendly.
Well, that's good at least.
I can't speak, but I think so.
Before I forget, one other quick thing I wanted to mention, because you were talking about, you know, people who started in Broadway and then, you know, go to acting and stuff. I was getting caught up, and when I watched American Horror Stories, the anthology series, and I started in like the first episode or so. I think it was a two-parter. Or was it the last episode? I forgot. Anyway, it was the one about the rubber man or whatever. And there was like, there were two dads in the house. And then there was another side character or whatever. One of the dads was played by Gavin Creel.
Yeah.
And who was in here. And then the other, and he was also in Eloise at the Plaza and Eloise at Christmas Time. He played Bill.
So you bring, like I said, we're the sugar and spice, and you bring all the fun facts, Ellen. Like I said, you know, queen of light.
Thank you. And then the other person I noticed though was in that same episode was the side character was Aaron Tveit, who played Marius's right hand man Angelus on Les Mis in the movie. Yeah, but he's done Broadway work before. So when I saw him and Gavin Creel like next to each other or whatever, I'm just like, you know, and they're in a scene together. I was like, oh, I'm like, look at these two Broadway sets. This is so great.
It's just awesome. And also, let's not forget Patti LuPone.
Oh, yes.
Patti LuPone, who is like the one of, you know, she's up there with Bernadette Peters.
She was the original Evita. Yeah. And also she was in the revival of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, and Company. Let's not forget Sondheim's Company. Patti LuPone, we can be here all day talking about all the things that she's done. She also made a guest appearance on Glee when they go to New York, and Leah and Corey Monteith, who sadly passed away, and that's a story for another day. You know, they run into her in Sardis, in that famous place that all these Broadway stars come in and out of, you know?
Yeah, no, but that was really smooth how you mentioned Patti LuPone, because we were talking about American Horror Stories, the anthology series, and then the American Horror Story season 3 she was in, and she was like that crazy neighbor lady that was thought her son was like evil and that all the girls next door were totally corrupt and everything. She was abusive, and I mean she was great in that role as an actress, but you know what, it just hit me. I think that she was Adrian Brody's mom in the movie Summer of Sam.
She was, now that I think about it, because I saw that movie with Leguizamo and
Ben Gazzara and
Mira Sorvino.
And Jennifer Esposito was in it. That was such a good movie. Wow, blast from the past. But no, it's like you said, it's really interesting how these people we've seen in movies over the years, you know, have this amazing, you know, back catalog with, you know, amazing, you know, Broadway endeavors and things like that. I mean, that's an amazing resume to have.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, it's, like I said, this is why, like I said, Broadway can't just be one. Everybody says, what can you talk about Broadway? Look how many 6 degrees of separation and what we talked about in the last few minutes. We brought on Funny Girl. From Funny Girl, we went into American Horror Story, and Neil Patrick Harris, and all these, you know, Patti LuPone, all these different things that we've talked about.
Right. And like you mentioned before, about Idina Menzel, because getting back to her, because I mean, like, Rent was one of the things that I was going to mention before as well. When I saw it, she wasn't in it, but I forgot the girl who played Maureen, but she did an amazing job. I really liked the way she role, actually. And when I saw Rent, it was like the Broadway tour or something like that, but they were like doing it through the U.S. and I think it was in 09 that they did that. And my mom and I went, and we were like in probably the third row or something like that from the front. And so we got to see Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal.
Yeah, you were telling me on one of your messages, I remember reading that you had missed them. That must have been because Anthony Rapp was on Adventures in Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue.
Yes. And, he was also, he played a character named Bender that was in A Beautiful Mind. He was one of John Nash's colleagues in college.
Oh, yeah, I remember now. Yes.
Now, here's a real fun fact. My mom, because she was born in 62, so she got to live through a really cool era that I didn't. Back in, let me think here, and, oh, geez. Probably the early 80s, somewhere in there. She went and saw a production of The King and I. And it was And it was with Yul Brynner. And she showed me the playbill. And where it showed the little boy playing Louis, Anna's son.
Yeah.
It said, Tony Rapp.
Oh, it was that related to Anthony? So that must have been...
Tony is a nickname for Anthony.
For Anthony Rapp. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because my brother, we call him Tony, but his name's Anthony. And I saw this picture of this adorable little, like, towhead blonde boy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, Mom, it's little Anthony Rapp. Because she showed me that. She knew who it was, but she showed me.
Wow. That is a fun fact. Oh, my gosh.
So she got to see him when he was on, you know, the stage when he was just starting out. And then we get to see him later playing Mark, you know, the role that he originated in Rent.
Yes.
You know, years
that
later.
That was a phenomenal. I just recently saw the movie because I saw Tick, 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 Boom.
Oh, right.
Which is about the writer, the one that created the Rent.
Right, Jonathan Larson.
Andrew Garfield did an amazing job with that. That was amazing. I loved it.
I want to see it because I was considering watching it. And the
You need to. You'll love it. And the story and how he never gave up. It's sad what happens to him. But that's, like I said, that's a story for another day. We're going to be saying that a lot today.
I was going to say, to sum it up, a lot of people didn't realize this. A lot of people might not have known this because his condition was kind of an odd one. But he had something called Marfan syndrome.
Yes, can you explain what that is?
I think it's like basically when like the organs are sort of like not quite being able to grow right or something. They sort of get like squelched almost. So I know that he had like heart problems because of that.
Yes. And it's also sad. He was very young when he passed away.
He passed like right before Rent was going to debut on Broadway.
His biggest ones, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, hopefully he's, you know, somewhere better where he got the best view of the performance on opening night, because I think, you know, definitely think he deserved that, because he left us with some amazing music that we're going to have forever.
It is, and it's sad because it's like what happened to Adrian Shelley right before Waitress. Waitress has become a phenomenon thanks to Sarah Bareilles and her music score, but not too many people know that. Thanks to her husband fighting for, I don't know if you ever heard of Adrian Shelley, but Adrian Shelley was one of the original writers of the movie Waitress, which was with Carrie Russell. She played Felicity, and then they created this musical called Waitress years later. But it was because Adrian Shelley had this horrible thing happen where she got murdered, but at the time they thought she had committed suicide.
Oh my goodness.
So all this stuff, and like I said, there's so many things on Broadway. Like, I think we should just title it 6 Degrees of Broadway, because at this point we're chatting about a lot of stuff.
No, exactly. We might as well call it 6 Degrees of Broadway. That's pretty funny. No, one thing I was going to mention, though, just in keeping with this little, because I'm about to add one more to make it a perfect triad. Remember game triad where it's like you name three things and you have to guess what they all have in common? Well, here's one more wonderful writer / director, not necessarily who wrote the music, but who wrote the script for a musical. Okay. I don't know if you've seen Over the Moon on Netflix, the animated one.
No, I have not.
It's a beautiful musical. It was directed by Glenn Keane, and he was the supervising animator on, I believe, Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And I know he was supervising animator on Tarzan, the character in Tarzan.
Wow.
And his daughter Claire Keane has a children's picture book called On a Cloud, and you can really see where her illustrations in that. She has that Disney-esque 2D animated style flair. But the thing is that her dad, Glenn Keane, is one of the only animators I've known of to, besides Don Bluth, to break away from the Disney
company. Oh, Don Bluth, he was in All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yep, he was the director of All Dogs Go to Heaven, An American Tale, Fievel Goes West, The Land Before Time, Thumbelina, and Anastasia. Now, Disney Plus has the rights to Anastasia, but Don Bluth, that was his own production, essentially. And so to see Glenn Keane be another animator to break away from Disney and then go on to direct his own project with Over the Moon was, I was over the moon about that. So basically, what I was going to mention is it's such a beautiful musical, but the person who wrote the storyline, which is why the music's so heartbreakingly beautiful, because it's about a girl whose mother has died recently, and you can tell it's some kind of illness, and so it's just her and her father now. And the music, it's you know, deals with her grief and her trying to find ways to move forward and still finding hope. There's a lot of symbolism in it, lots of metaphors. Very fantastical in a way, but if you're really paying attention, you can see what a lot of it is really trying to, you know, to say. And Audrey Wells, the writer of the script, they dedicated the movie in her memory when you see the credits at the end, because she died. And she died of cancer. And this movie was her love letter, essentially, to her daughter. Oh. A way to show her how to move on from grief, and that it's okay to love new people and to let love in your life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, I think my husband's phone's ringing. Hold on.
No problem.
Give me a second here.
You're good.
I think he's outside. I don't know. Hold on. One moment. Well, give me a second here. He's outside, I think. It's his boss calling him. Hold on.
No problem. That's funny.
Yeah, I'll have him call him back. Give me a second here.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I don't know if he's in the back. I'll let him know when he gets back. But anyway.
I'll hold down the fort.
Sorry about that. Yes. He's outside, I think, somewhere with the dog. Anyway, sorry about that, folks.
Oh, no, you're good. But just getting kind of back to the Idina Menzel again, because I was sort of springing off from that point.
Yes. Go ahead.
We were also kind of talking about Wicked, because she originated the role of Elphaba, but I know that you said you got to see Wicked in 2012.
I got to see Wicked in 2012. It was a company. Obviously, when you tour, it's a different different people that come, but I know my husband surprised me because I had heard about Wicked. I love Wicked. I read it. It's a different story. It talks about the Wicked, you know, the character that you meet. If you're not familiar with Wicked, it's a book that was written differently from what you're used to from the Wizard of Oz. You've heard of Wizard of Oz with Dorothy, the Tin Man, the Wicked Witch. So this is a story taken where it gives the Wicked Witch a different side. And I read the book first, and then they turned it into a musical. And then, so I was very obsessed with trying to watch it. My husband surprised me in 2012. We went to see it, and I loved it. It was so original. But you also told me you saw, because Jessica Bosk, is it? Is that the way you say her
name? Yes.
Like, amazing. I mean, she was one of the original. She also, besides Idina Menzel, she's one. She's also a big Broadway star, and you got to see her as Elphaba, correct?
Yes, I got to see her. It was actually one of her last nights. Not maybe the last, but it was like one of the last times she played Elphaba during her time, because it then kind of changed hands and someone else took up that role shortly thereafter. But I got to see her in September of 2017. And yeah, Jessica Vosk was just wonderful. Like, she didn't have quite, like, she had a very different facial structure and a different look than Idina Menzel. So it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't necessarily how I had pictured her exactly, but at the same time, the way she played the role and her singing, just all of it,
yes,
she really encompassed the character. She brought the humor to the character, and kind of that drab, dry, dark humor as well. And she was, you know, funny and nerdy and awkward and just kind of all the things that make Elphaba the oddball that doesn't quite feel like she fits in anywhere.
Yes.
And I feel like that also is what leads her to make the choices that she makes.
Yeah.
I didn't really, contrary to the story you told, I did not read the book prior to.
It's different. It's definitely different, but it was created because of the book.
Right. And I basically, all I had to go off of for the story and picturing it in my head was the CD I had in like 2006, 2007, something like that. And it was the original Broadway cast recording with Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel.
Yes,
and of
yes.
course, Joel Grey playing the wizard.
Yeah,
and,
I love Joel Grey. Love
oh,
him.
I know. He was the original 50 Shades of Grey. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. No, but so I was reading the lyrics, you know, in the little booklet in the CD case and stuff, and I'm, you know, and it tells you kind of the story or the scene of what's going on, but the thing was is that it really didn't give away the ending. So when I went and actually got to see it on stage for the first time, I had no idea what the ending was going to be like, and I was shocked, because it really gave us a backstory of not just Elphaba, but of the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. And we got to see what happened to all of them and how they all came to be.
Yes.
Who we knew them to be.
Oh, and then you find out that there is another side to the Wicked Witch and her life and what she went through. And that's what I love, that the book created this different side. It was the Wicked book. Okay, give me a second here. The Life and Times of the... that's when Gregory Maguire, he always writes different, he puts a twist to the different books. And the book is more dark. It has definitely more elements of things that are, oh my gosh, what happens to the characters. But the way they took the story and made it about friendship between Galinda, because in the book, in the book it's Galinda, not Glinda, but Galinda,
right,
and Elphaba. And to be able to see it on stage and then learn about these musical numbers, defying gravity, and then For Good, and all these great and popular, and it had funny moments, elements of funny, but to see a woman empowering herself after she, you know, she looks up to this wizard, and
right,
the wizard lets her down, and she fights for herself, and then, you know, Galinda goes up there and tells her, you know, are you sure, Elphie? You know, that's the name that, you know, if you've seen the musical. And it's so profound, so beautiful, and you just learn so much about a Broadway show. And this is why, again, for me, Lea Michele, who looks so much like Idina Menzel,
yes,
mother and daughter, I thought for sure they were going to cast her in the movie Wicked.
That's what I was thinking too. I was kind of thinking like, well, you know, and yeah, but they didn't. And maybe, I don't know if it's that they wanted someone a little younger. You know, maybe who looked a little more,
yeah,
you know, like college age-ish Elphaba years, you know, kind of, but I wasn't really sure. I think that for me, and I think for today's society in general, I feel like one of the songs that always sticks in my mind from Wicked that I felt was very relevant was Fiero's song Dancing Through Life.
Okay.
Because it's really about just kind of talking about coasting through life and
yes,
not really trying. If you don't try, you can't look like an idiot. If you yes, don't try, you can't fail.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of about this idea of just, you know, play it safe, you know, just take the easy route. Like,
yes,
don't try too hard because, you know, why bother? He kind of had a very, and that's, it makes sense why he became the Scarecrow, because he sort of had this, it wasn't that he wasn't smart. It was that he was choosing to be brainless in a sense.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel that he was able to so easily get his quote brain from the wizard, was because it really was there all along. It was more about
a
shift in perspective and in his mindset and just his ability to believe in his own abilities. I think maybe same thing with maybe Tin Man. Maybe there's something to say there about people that think that they can't love someone else, or maybe they think they're emotionally unavailable, but really it just takes you having that courage within yourself to be vulnerable enough, and then you could prove yourself wrong, you know, that you are capable of love. You know, I think there's a lot of deeper things that we kind of are able to really get to the heart of when we see Wicked, because I feel like over we've got this rosy picturesque version of The Wizard of Oz from 1939, which it was a beautiful, wonderful film, but Wicked is sort of like, it's kind of debunking the myth.
More dark. It shows more reality, but at the same time, of course, and that's a story for another day. We're not going to dive too much into
it. No,
But Judy Garland, which is one of my favorite, you know, of all time, you know, and that's a story for another. She was going through a lot during Wizard of Oz. So there's a lot that people don't really talk about, but those are things that happen to, like I said, every actor, actress has a life besides the picture you see on TV or when they play on a Broadway show. And what I wanted to get back at is that, you know, these stories, these musicals, they're dark. Sometimes, you know, you hear of Dear Evan Hansen, that's a totally different other play. You know, all these, and even if you see Spring Awakening, what it talks about, when you don't talk to your children or let them be who they are and the things that they go through. And this is why it was such a huge impact on the youth, and why Leah Michelle and Jonathan Groff and all those people that were in it, Skylar Astin, all these wonderful, became what they became, because they told these stories that not everyone was talking about.
I know, it's awesome. And you know, I wish there's so many times where I wish that my brother would get into plays and, like, you know, musicals, even if it's just something local, but just because he was telling me a couple years ago or something about Heather's the musical, based on the 1980s,
with Christian Slater, Winona Ryder.
I saw that one. That was like kind of a cult classic. And so he's telling me about this musical, and he does like one of the songs from them, and he did it with so much like hilarity and like pizzazz and flair, and like he really like committed to it, and it was so, he just did it in the living room one time because mom was like, Tony, do that song, you know, and oh my gosh, I laughed so hard. It was
I bet you it was awesome to see, you know, the like to see them acting it out. My children are very musical. That's what I love about mine. They love plays. They love, anytime they see me watching West Side Story, or my husband loves musicals, you know, it helps me of course, he would never admit it to his friends, probably. But yeah, he admits it to me. No, but he doesn't mind going to take me to see Wicked, or he took me to see Waitress, which we'll dive more into that another day. Because, I said, Adrian Shelley changed a lot of people's lives. He wrote, directed, produced that movie, and the has kept her legacy alive, and it's wonderful. But all these musicals and getting back to Funny Girl and all of that, you have to cast the right people in those roles. And yeah, I feel that Lea Michele's just gonna knock it out of the park. I think she was born to play this role. Fanny Bryce, I think it's gonna be, and Julie Bento is doing amazing. You know, she's the understudy and she's killing it. She's doing awesome with it. But I really believe that you have to cast the right people in these roles, like Idina Menzel, Jessica Vasca, all these people that have like cemented. Neil Patrick Harris has done such great in the Broadway world as well as an actor. He's just from Doogie Howser, he has become so many different things. But there's so many people, Megan Hilty, who was on Smash with Catherine McPhee, who's also was able to play Waitress. She's done so many, many huge roles. There's so many people that have come out of Broadway that have done amazing. And we need to remember that, you know, Broadway is stepping stone, but it's also where it's at. You know, a lot of people say, oh no, Broadway, you know, if you do Broadway, there was a time people would say that. Broadway is where it's at because these people perform every night. They don't take breaks. They have to protect their voice. They have to do all these things and act, and we should take them more seriously, you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I completely agree, because you're not really able to have any kind of nuance when you're performing on stage, because you project your voice so that it reaches all the people in the furthest rows in the back. So you don't have the luxury of being able to whisper a line, even if that would be more fitting for the scene. You can't really do that when you're on stage. My mom said that she felt, because she's done musicals and things like that before. I mean, she's really good at that stuff. She was basically saying she felt that cinema was a forgiving medium in terms of musicals, because you can kind of do more with it. Like, you don't necessarily have to be the best trained singer, but if it fits the role, if it encompasses the role, then it works. Like, personally, me and Mom thought that Gerard Butler's Phantom of the Opera was awesome.
Oh my gosh, yes. And
we loved it because
Emmy Rossum is amazing.
Oh yeah, she did a really amazing job. I mean, and you know, that, but that was the thing, is with Gerard Butler not being professionally trained and having a little bit more of a raw rock and roll edge to him, that was what Andrew Lloyd Webber always wanted for the band.
Yes, exactly.
And was kind of more of that edge. And I told Mom, I said, well, it makes more sense, doesn't it? I was like, it fits in more with the character, that he shouldn't sound like he's trying to sound more operatic or like a classically trained singer. Because if you think about it, the Phantom was not classically trained. He just had a talent and, you know, just kind of picked it up along the way from, you know, hearing songs at the opera house. So, I think that we thought there was, you know, some good leeway there with the creativity. Same thing with like Sweeney Todd. You know, there's scenes where Johnny Depp would speak a line and it was like very haunting. But I don't think that anybody really could have done that on stage, because they would have had to project too much. So sometimes you lose a little bit of that intimacy.
You do. But what I do love that they do now on movies is that the cast has to sing. Like Johnny Depp was able to sing Sweeney Todd. Back in West Side Story, when they did West Side Story back in the day, Natalie Wood. Back in the day when she did West Side Story, she did an amazing job playing Maria, but she didn't sing the song.
No, actually, it was Marnie Nixon. Marnie Nixon
covered everybody, even Rita Moreno, who did amazing as Anita, but she didn't sing the songs.
Yeah, And then when I found out that they had somebody overdubbed for Russ Tamblyn, and I heard Tamblyn's regular original take, I was like, why didn't they just keep that in?
Russ Tamblyn is an amazing singer, and he's Amber Tamblyn's dad.
I know. Isn't that wild?
She was on General Hospital. She started as Emily Quartermain.
I remember seeing her in The Ring, the horror movie. She was one of the first. She was like one of the very first characters you saw in the movie.
She's married to the guy from Dave and Bob. Remember Bob and Dave? They had that show. They're comedians who now Bob Odenberg and Dave Cross, I think it is. She's married to Dave Cross.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. And I, you know, when I was in my teens, you know, she was in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yes, exactly. With Blake Lively and America Ferrara and all and Alex Bledel, who was on Gilmore Girls. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And Alex Bledel actually
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah. She won an Emmy for, I think it was season one that she got the Emmy for like an outstanding role by an actress in like a streaming series or a limited series or something like that, like in a guest role or whatever.
Of course, the girl from the main character of The Handmaid's Tale, she was on Mad Men.
Yes, yeah. I haven't seen that, but yeah, I know who you mean. Elizabeth Moss.
Actually, Elizabeth Moss, yes.
Yeah, not to get on too much of a tangent, but that is going to be next Thursday. That's going to be one of the things I'll be covering on my podcast. You're the first one to know. I'm going to do a pop culture moment on Girl Interrupted and how that kind of made, you know, mental health sort of mainstream.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, being a topic of conversation.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Moss was in that movie. She was the girl with the severely burnt face.
And yes, yes.
Very, very, you know,
Winona Ryder, Angelina Jolie, you know, and Brittany Murphy.
And Brittany Murphy,
sadly passed away. So now we're bringing 6 degrees of something else.
6 degrees of something, yeah, exactly. But getting back to like what you were talking about, you know, having to pick the right person for a role, I don't think they could have picked anyone better to play the villain in Sweeney Todd than Alan Rickman.
Oh my God, what a loss for everyone when he passed away, because he did Harry Potter as Severus, you know.
He was on Love Actually, and
Wicked, and of course the Sweeney Todd movie.
And he was Colonel Brandon in Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah, he and of course, let's not forget Mr. Darcy, the amazing Colin Firth. That's one of my favorite actors, Colin Firth. I love him, especially with Bridget Jones' Diaries.
Well, and you know, funnily enough that you mentioned Colin Firth, I mean, let's not forget he was in the film version of Mamma Mia.
And he did well. Unfortunately, not everyone can sing. And unfortunately, even though I love Pierce Brosnan, he can't sing.
No. Yeah, we know that. And here's a funny tidbit for you. I thought you'd get a chuckle out of. I saw something online. It was like a picture of a tweet or whatever. And somebody had tweeted. They said, is it just me, or am I the only person who actually enjoyed Russell Crowe as Javert in Les Mis?
Oh my God, he couldn't sing either.
I know. And hold up one second. But he responded to them because they were like, am I the only one who actually enjoyed Russell Crowe as Javert in Les Mis? And he actually responded to that fan and he goes, no, my mom enjoyed it. Kind of like, no, you're not the only one. Like, she enjoyed it. Yeah. But, you know, but no, my brother and I, we will go, oh, my brother is so funny. He will do the most hilarious Russell Crowe as Javert. Like, he's like, and I'm Javert. Like, just very, you know, there is nowhere to go. Oh, you know, just, oh, goodness. Like, no, we're not. This I swear by the stars. Like, no, please, no, Russell Crowe.
I was like, no, that part. And then, you know, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. My son does a real good, he can, like, mimic, like, he has a beautiful voice, my middle son, Michael. One of these days I'll have him on so he can show you, even though he'll be like, Mom, But he is. He's in chamber choir this year because, or chorus, because he moved up from freshman, sophomore right away to chamber. He tried out and said he got it. And I wasn't surprised. You see, you could hear him when you go listen to him sing. Yeah. And he did Mary Poppins, of course, on got to go to New York thanks to that in 2018. But that's a story for another day. But like I said, you know, there's so many people that I'm like, no offense. And the bottom line today is that not everyone, even though, and it's just our opinion, you don't have to go by it, but I believe that certain people are made for certain roles. Unfortunately, Beanie Feldstein, she did great, but she wasn't cut out to do, in my opinion, the Fanny Bryce role. And I believe that's why Tony's didn't nominate any of them except for that one actor that taps, you know, that he did one. There was one person that got nominated for the role for something on Funny Girl. But I believe that certain people are made for certain roles, not to be rude. I think Cynthia Erivo's and Ariana Grande are going to do amazing in Wicked. However, for me, I feel that Lea Michele is just going to do amazing in Funny Girl to play. And certain people, the whole bottom line of what I was getting at today is that certain people are made for certain roles. It doesn't mean you can't be in Broadway, but that's just my own take on it.
Right. And I guess I kind of see why they... Okay, real quick, but to start this off, because I don't want to get any hate. I love Ariana Grande. I think she's super talented. I mean, I listen to like her music all the time. It puts me in a good mood. Anyway, but that aside, when they said that she was going to be in it, you know, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, is she going to play Elphaba? And the reason I thought that initially was because there is a recording, you can see a live performance where she does The Wizard and I, and she's like in a green outfit with green lipstick, and it's super cute.
Yeah.
And she did a nice job on that, but she was younger then, you know, and her voice has matured, and, you know, and she's, you know, gotten even better over the years. Yeah. But the thing is when they said she was going to play Glinda, I was like, huh?
I didn't see it. I personally didn't see it. I think she's great, but I didn't.
No, I know. And that's the thing is where I'm kind of interested to see, like, I'm being hopeful, but like also like cautiously optimistic because, you know, it's also up to the director and how they choose to take things in a certain direction a lot of times.
So, as long as it doesn't turn into another Cats.
Oh God.
The disaster.
I didn't even see it. Because
but I heard all these and just by all the reviews, I said, I'm not watching that. It looked like a disaster in the previews. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. I wasn't quite sure. Like initially I thought, ooh, this looks kind of neat. And then like I saw all the horrid reviews on it and I was maybe I'll put that one on the back burner unless I'm feeling extra adventurous. But I think with the picking of Ariana Grande to play Glinda, I think I can understand it because she's so short and petite. Like she's
like Kristen Chenoweth.
She's like 5 foot nothing. I mean, and frankly, like we've seen Ariana Grande with like blonde hair, platinum hair, silver hair. Like we've seen her in different hairdos, so like it's not like it's impossible.
No, I think she can do the role. Will it translate into film? I don't know.
That's kind of the thing I'm waiting
on. And Cynthia Erivo has a beautiful voice, so I think it'll. I mean, I think they both. I would have to see them together to see how, you know, how they bounce off each other. I guess it would be, and I think they'll do great. But I still believe that people should be cast because of talent, which they both have. But we should stop making it about, oh, this person fits into this role. This, you know, women need to empower each other. And on Glee, I believe there's a lot of jealousy. You never hear about the men fighting. And Ryan Murphy himself said that men fought on that show, but you always hear about the women.
Yep, that's what gets hyped up. Exactly.
And we just need to remember at the end of the day, Lea Michele and everyone else is human. They're not perfect. If they apologize, move on. If they happen to do it again, then that's on them. But for now, let's just wish them well, just like everybody else. And let's try to be kind to one another, you know, because it's still, you know, I believe in kindness. Even when people aren't kind to me, I just wish them well. And I say a prayer for them. A lot of times it's hard to do that. But meditate, wish them positive vibes, and maybe they're just going through a tough time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And then speaking of kind people, I actually had the opportunity to meet the guitarist who did the studio guitar work on Jekyll and Hyde, Resurrection.
Oh. So
it was basically the Jekyll and Hyde musical by Frank Wildhorn. The music was by Frank Wildhorn, and the lyrics were by Leslie Bricus, who also did the lyrics in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. But we're getting off topic. Anyway,
No, that's okay. You like I said,
little tidbit.
This is why we're doing today's show. We're already going on an hour. So
yeah, no, I'm actually like, this is like my last little note that I wanted to include for today, was just because I pretty much touched on all the musicals I wanted to, except for like for Jekyll and Hyde, which is like one of my all-time favorites, because I felt like there was so many different, you know, iterations of it. Yeah. Anthony Warlow wasn't in the original, he wasn't on the original Broadway recording, but Anthony Warlow was on the Complete Works recording.
Yes.
And that was like a dual disc thing, and it was really extensive. Like, I remember reading like the lyrics and everything along with all the songs, and it would tell you what was going on. So it was almost like, you know, listening to like old timey radio, and you just are visualizing all this stuff in your head. So, but that recording came out in like 1994. Well, I think it was like released in 95, but like I think it was recorded in 94. So, and that was 2 years after Anthony Warlow had throat cancer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, cause he dealt with that in 92. And, I was just really astounded, you know, at how, you know, just in general, I had heard him sing before I knew about that. So that made it even cooler when I was like, wow, I'm like, he sounded that amazing, and he'd already been through this beforehand. Like, no way.
That's what I mean. Like, there's these actors that, like I said, Broadway, I don't think people realize that how into the character, and you have to really take care of your voice. I know Lea Michele said when she was on screens, not to take away from Anthony Warlow, is that she would only give him a few screams for the show because she had to protect her voice.
No, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you use. And it's not comparing to Warlow and what he went, because obviously throat cancer, I can't even imagine. I know Stanley Tucci talked about what he went through, and I didn't even know Anthony Tucci had ever gone through any of that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I can't even imagine that. But like I said, people need to realize that.
Right.
You know, actors go through a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sorry, but I went off on a little bit of a tangent there. Getting back to my initial thing, I was talking about how I met the guitarist who did all the guitar work for Jekyll and Hyde Resurrection. Now, Jekyll and Hyde Resurrection, that came out later on in, when was that, 2005, 2006, something like that, somewhere in that area. And Rob Evan played the role of Jekyll and Hyde in that one, and he was amazing. And yeah, he really had a great rock and roll sound to his voice, and could do some really cool high screams. It was very, made like songs like Dangerous Game very metal. They sounded very chaotic. That was, I think, kind of the thing I liked about Rob Evans' portrayal, was it was a little more immersed, I think, than Anthony Warlow's, because Anthony Warlow did a fantastic Jekyll, but it was still slightly restrained. And I felt like with Rob Evans' version, he really just kind of let loose.
Yeah.
You know, he'd sound pretty restrained as Jekyll, but you could always tell there was like a tension and an anxiety brewing beneath the surface.
Yes.
And then once he became Hyde, he was kind of just, you know, twirling in a, you know, totally like just careening towards
another,
the tragic
element of it. He brought another element of it.
Yeah. And there was really just a, you know, this Tasmanian devil effect, like just kind of once he kind of got going and spinning, like he just couldn't stop and it was going to end up crashing into things and destroying people. So, yeah, I felt like he really did an amazing job encompassing that just with his vocal style and how he was able to go back and forth. But Alex Skolnick replaced a lot of, not all of them, but a lot of his guitar solos and guitar work placed a lot of what would have been piano in the one with Anthony Warlow. So I got to hear a stark difference. And, you know, and I appreciate both of them for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing that guitar work, though, on Resurrection, and I thought, who is this? And my dad and I are looking at the booklet or whatever. We see a name, Alex Skolnick. We look him up. Found out he had a jazz trio, so I listened to a little bit of that. Loved his jazz trio. And then I found out that he was in the heavy metal thrash band from the 80s, Testament. And I went and got to see them in, I think it was 2008. I believe it was like August of 08, something like that. Oh,
nice.
And I went with my dad to see that at the Rave in Milwaukee. And we saw Alex because I had met him prior till then. Oh. I had actually met Alex in LA on a fluke. I was touring Musicians Institute, Guitar Institute of Technology, the school they've got out there for musicians and guitarists. And one of the players that I had been taking lessons, or teachers, I should say, but he's a great guitar player. He's a studio player, but he's also sometimes a teacher there. And so when Carl Verheyen was giving my folks the tour, and he's played for the movie Up, by the way, and Ratatouille. He's
done that. And we mentioned Up earlier.
yep. And Ratatouille, so another Pixar movie. He's played for the Speed Racer movie. He used to be in Supertramp. I mean, the guy's done
a lot. He's got a whole repertoire of things.
Yeah. So Mom and Dad were getting this little tour by, you know, of the school by Carl at the time. And I see a notice on a door that says Alex Skolnick is going to be teaching a clinic. And it was like coming up in like 10 minutes or so. And I was looking at my folks. I'm like, Mom, like, Dad, Alex is going to be here today. I gotta sit in on this, can I? And they, you know, and Carl Verheyen was great. He was just like, oh yeah, sure, that's fine. And so I got to sit in on that while Mom and Dad toured kind of the rest of the building.
Nice.
So Alex is like trying to talk to people, you know, talk to all the students about scales and like pentatonic scales specifically. And he's like, who knows the box? Anybody know the box? Because it's different boxes of scales. And they're all of us in unison groan. Like just this, oh my God, it was funny. But when I got up there and I talked to him, I was wearing a Sweeney Todd shirt. And he has a gray streak, a very signature gray streak in his hair, like Sweeney Todd. And he compared, he's like, some people say I look like this guy. He says it on my t-shirt. And I told him as he's signing the CD of his jazz trio, because that was what was being promoted at the time, I am getting the signature from him. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I heard you in Jekyll and Hyde, The Resurrection first, and then I heard your jazz trio, and then I heard you in Testament. And he goes, wow. He goes, you're the first person to ever say in that order that that's like what, you know, how I heard him. Most people hear, you know, heard him on Testament first. So I think that was kind of a surprise. We got a picture together, which my dad still has. I'm like just looking, totally geeking out, fangirling out. I'm like all smiles and everything.
Yeah, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, he gave me a hug in the photo and he's like, how old are you? I was like 17. He's like, oh, that's great. He's like, you got lots of time. And then I saw him like 6 months later or so
at the
concert, because he peeks out like a door that goes into the bar, like from the backstage. Yeah, he like was looking for somebody or whatever. And my dad goes, Alex. And he's like, oh, hey, he's like, I remember you guys. And he's like, my dad's like, what are you doing after the show? And he's like, oh, we're just going across the street to the hotel. He's like, there's a martini bar. He's like, you guys should come over after the show. And we were like, okay, cool. So we did that. And I didn't have the courage to talk to their front man, Chuck Billy, because he had a couple of good looking ladies surrounding him. And I thought he's busy right now. I thought, I'm not going to bother him. And that is a very big man. I thought, so I don't want a chance putting him in a bad mood. But no, Dad was like, go talk to Alex. And I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't want to bother him if he's busy. He's like, go talk to him. So I approach Alex and he's like, got his little martini. And I was like, hey, how you doing? He's like, I was like wearing all black and everything. He's like, oh, I love your outfit. He's like, it's so cool. You look like you could fit in with me and my friends. And he was just so nice. Just so very very kind person.
And
down to
people
earth.
Out there like that. Like, you know, they just, they're regular people. Like, you know, like you and I and everyone else. And that's what people forget, that they are also people. They just happen to have another life also.
Yeah. I feel very lucky to be able to say I got to pretty much meet all my heroes in one way or another, because I met Alex Skolnick, because he was, in my opinion, and still is, one of the best guitarists, because he's so versatile. He can play jazz, he can play metal, he can, you know, he can really do it all. And he's, like I said, very, very down to earth, encouraging person, really nice. And we just kind of were talking for a while, talked about other guitarists we liked and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was really cool. It was awesome to get to talk to him. But yeah, I got to meet him. I met my other hero, my literary hero, Ellen Hopkins.
Nice.
In person. She did a critique on some of my writing.
That's awesome.
And I've got like four or five of her books that she signed for me when I met her in person.
Nice.
And I've sent her some of my articles that I wrote for Odyssey. She would say, thank you for sending this, or, you know, this is really good, or whatever. Yeah. And I did get to talk with who was it? Sorry, my thoughts got jumbled up. Julianne Peters, the YA author, and Carol Lynch Williams.
Nice.
Julianne Peters was so encouraging, and so was Carol Lynch Williams. I mean, it's just amazing when you branch out. Yeah, like
it's amazing when we get to talk to those people that, like, we really, you know, look up to.
Yeah, and fun little fact: I'm also friends on Facebook with the guitarist from the 90s series, Hey Arnold, the guy that did all the cool jazz.
I remember that show,
he'll comment on my posts and stuff like that, and he's always been incredibly nice and very kind and stuff like that. And it's just like you said, it's nice to know that there's, you know, good people out there that are encouraging and that are doing something artistic, and they're doing it like just for the work.
Exactly. And let's remember at the end of the day that they're normal. They just happen to have another job. Like we have a job, like, you know, whether it's you're at home working, or you're just doing your thing, or you're at school, or you're doing HVAC work, or whatever you are. They just happen to be actors, singers, you know, writers, like we are. We're also writers. Yeah. That's a story for another day. But, you know, let's remember at the end of the day that they also have a life besides what they do online and stuff. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that there's not snobs out there. There are. But you know what? Those snobs are the reason we get entertained.
Yes, that's also true. You know, it's like you kind of have to take the pros and with the cons.
It would be quite boring.
That's also true, definitely, for sure. And I hope that the performance that Lea Michele does is like, you know, I hope it meets your expectations and that it's like the dream performance. Because I'll just say, whenever you do get to see somebody that you're excited about to see play a Broadway role, and then you get to see them in the role and they fit it like just perfectly the way you always dreamed.
Magical. Yes, it is. I wish I could say, you know, I'm trying to win tickets to go see her so we can go see her. I don't know if you noticed I tagged you. And we can go see it for ourselves, but, you know, I'm not really, I don't know if it'll happen, but I wish her all the best and all the Broadway people that come in and out. And I'm not saying you can't play that role, by no means. I'm just saying, in my opinion, I feel she's going to do, you know, what she was born to do with this role. So it's just my own take on it. But you know, I love that you were able to come on to the podcast on the Daily Queen of Light, because I know you have Mugs and Musings. I really hope you check it out, because as you can see, she's got a lot of, you know, like I said, we'll just call this 6 degrees of Broadway and more.
Yeah, exactly.
She's got a lot of fun facts and of course, not to take away from all the people you've met, because I would love to talk about that. I could chat here all day. But we want to give people more of your stuff, and then hopefully I'll get guest host on your podcast and we can do some guest roles here and there.
Yes. And I definitely, I want to have you on as well at some point for the episode, because I've got a whole entire list plotted out of all the different topics.
Yeah.
So one of them was going to be about film scores, because I know we were talking about that earlier. So we'll have to do that at some point when I do decide to do the episode on film scores. Then I'll make sure to have you on for that, because then we can talk about, you know, our favorite movies with the music that really helps to kind of make them what they are, and you know, because that really does set the mood and the tone a lot of times, you know, and stuff like that. And
yes,
if you think a lot of times about our favorite movies, you know, whatever they might be,
that
you know have that great music, and then you think about what would that movie be like, or how, or what would it mean to me if that music weren't a part of it,
and yeah,
it would definitely be something hollow, something would be missing. So yeah, we'll definitely have to talk about like the impact of music and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Yes, because I, like I said, I even talked to my sister about this the other day really quick, because I know we have to kind of wrap it up in a little bit. Not that I, like I said, mine had talking all day, but I think our viewers, you know, would like
our listeners might mind, you know, we don't know.
We might, but we also got to get together and maybe do some live videos to talk to people, kind of get their questions and stuff. There'll be more stuff we can do together, most definitely. But yeah, there are movies out there, because entertainment, my sister and I are always talking about new shows to recommend. Like right now I'm watching a show called Echoes, but I'll talk to you about that in another time. And it's on Netflix, and it looks really, really interesting, and we can incorporate like what our own writings are and what we're trying to do, you know, in our own lives. And I see my dog walking around looking at me like, are you almost done?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah. No, other than that, like I said, you've been amazing. You know so much. I'm sure the viewers on the Daily with Sol Stein are gonna love tuning into your show as well, and they might just say, wow, have her on more often, because I want to hear more about, you know, stuff, of course, because you know you have a lot of fun facts. That's why I say 6 degrees of Broadway and more. And you bring all the fun facts to the show. So that's amazing. Because I was like, I'm like, man.
I don't know how I do it sometimes. Like it does get a little overwhelming, and I do sometimes feel a little discombobulated in my own head. But I've kind of learned it comes with the territory of being ADHD and just being that hyper, because my brother's the same way, and we have a penchant for like memorizing all kinds of facts. I call it the encyclopedia effect.
Well, that's good. That's good to have. There's never anything wrong with having that at all.
Yeah. So. Well, till next time. More fun facts. Yeah.
Till next time, and I'm gonna put all the description so you can follow Queen of Light and Mugs and Musings. Tell us again about your episodes real quick before you go.
Okay, thanks. Mugs and Musings, I do different topics every week. Right now, Thursdays, I've been doing pop culture moments. So usually talking about different movies or things like that, and the music within them, and just like, and kind of not giving a full-on review of the movie, but just talking about like different parts that are my favorites within the movie, and you know, behind the scenes trivia and the actors, things like that. And so I did one already on Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And I did one on The Breakfast Club. That's the most recent one. I've only done 3 episodes of my show so far, but then the one in the middle was the ones I do on Monday, and that's that one's the beauty club. At least for now, that's the category I got going for now on Mondays is the beauty club. So that's just more like for skincare, hair care, makeup bargains. Just you know, there's a lot going on. So you know, if anyone's feeling brave, then they can check out some of my work because it's a lot.
And she does a tell them about your poll that you put on the. Like on the show.
Oh yeah, I do. I'll put like a poll a lot of times if it's like with a movie or whatever the topic is, and I'll have it be like multiple choice where it's, you know, what was your favorite scene in, you know, for example, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Well, you know, when he finds the golden ticket, did you like the opening credits best, or did you like, you know, the ending the best, or you know, just different things like that, just to kind of see what everybody says and just to sort of make it more fun and inclusive and interactive and everything. Yeah. Just because I feel like these are like the conversations that I think are fun to be part of. I mean, even if it seems frivolous, because it's like when you delve deeper into a lot of things, you can really find more and more layers, and there's usually
you always have to have that. It's so important to share all that with your listeners so they can know that you want to incorporate what they think about what you're talking about.
Yes, and that way they can feel more included in the discussion and stuff like that, because you know it's I want it to feel like a discussion, even if it's just me talking. I don't want it to be like a lecture. It's just more like, hey, like, you know, in case you didn't know, or hey, everything you ever wanted to know about, you know, the Breakfast Club behind the scenes. Okay, well, maybe not everything, but I managed to memorize quite a few things that I had a lot of fun reminiscing about and things like that with, you know, with that one, because it's such an iconic movie. But yeah, I'm talking way too much and rambling, and I will let you close out the show, Sylvia.
Oh, no problem. You're good. What I was going to say is that I found the Wicked book to wrap it up. You're fine. No worries at all. Like I said, if they wanted to connect with you on your show, Queen of Light, where can they do that? All their or viewers.
I would say easiest way to find me is on Spotify. You can go to Mugs and Musings, and it's like an N, like with a little apostrophe at the end. So it's not the whole word and, it's just a little N. But yeah, Mugs and Musings is the podcast on Spotify. So,
and it's also on Anchor, right? So it's through Anchor and then also Spotify, right?
Correct. Yes, I recorded on Anchor FM.
Okay, and all of the musicals we were talking about, I did want to mention the Wicked book is by, music and lyrics are by Stephen Schwartz. Book was Winnie Halsman, because I have my book out, based on the novel by Gregory Maguire. And I was looking for the actresses, because it was the company that we saw, because of course Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel originated the role, but I believe the person that I saw was Casey Levy. She was one. She was Elphaba. I think it was Eden Espinosa, and Glinda was Anna Lee Ashford. They're the ones that played the role when they came to in 2012 when I saw them. So I didn't want to like lose track on who came in, and I may have gotten these wrong, but I believe those are the girls that played the role when they came in Wicked in 2012. So the company anyway.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so glad that you got to see that, because I mean that had been a dream of mine and my brothers to see it together since like 2005, when we were seeing the little clip on PBS of Kristen Chenoweth and Idina Menzel and all the behind the scenes with all the dancers and the choreo and the rehearsals and everything. We were watching that, and that was kind of like our little dream. He was 5 and I was 15, and we were thinking, oh, one day when we grow up, we're gonna go see it together in New York. We're gonna go to New York and go see all the Broadway shows. Well, you know, lucky for us, it ended up, you know, coming to us only like half an hour away. So then when I was, when it was September of 2017, we went and saw it together. It was a lot of fun. We were both so excited, and it was really memorable.
It is. And like I said, all the shows we mentioned today, Funny Girl, Really Quick, Waitress, and all the ones that we mentioned, we want to thank you all for tuning in. And of course, my great co-host, Queen of Light, which we call ourselves Sugar and Spice, but we kind of did 6 degrees of Broadway and more entertainment stuff.
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
But I appreciate you being on. I hope you had a great time. And of course, join me on the Daily with Silstein, which I do the Coffee Chronicles. And because it all begins with coffee, that's something I got to trademark. Of course, the Coffee Chronicles everybody uses, but I just started saying because it all begins with coffee. And my husband's like, trademark it. That's what I did.
That's so awesome. I'll have to get one of those t-shirts or one of those mugs or something. Yeah.
We'll do that together. And I'm sure maybe you could do your mugs and musings one day too, because that just looks like really awesome. And I'm sure everyone's going to be interested in learning more about you and the pop culture and the beauty routines, and hopefully see our live videos. But I really, really hope you had a great time today.
Yes, it was so fun. Thanks again for having me on.
Thank you. And come again. And, you know, we'll get together probably on the weekends. This worked out pretty good. So I think that maybe we can try to schedule a show on Saturdays if we can in the mornings when we're not, you know, doing too much, and try to just bring this awesome duo together again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That sounds awesome. But thank you so, so much. And like I said, thank you for joining me on the Daily with Silstein through Anchor FM, and also Mugs and Musings, because Queen of Light is here. And please check out her podcast. And I hope you all tune into this awesome show that we did today. Thank you so, so much. Have a happy, awesome Saturday. You want to say an ending quote or anything, Queen of Light?
Sure. Just wanted to sign off and say thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And Sylvia, you've been awesome as always. Thank you so much.
So are you, Queen of Light. Thank you so much for putting up with my rambling as well.
No, it's fine. Totally understand.
And like I said, please be kind to one another. Treat everyone. And just know that they're human too, right?
Right.
Have a great one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.